I want you to imagine a classic college town corner store.
Okay, yeah.
You know, a place that has just been serving the community for decades, like deeply embedded in the local routine.
Right, everyone knows it.
Exactly. But now, imagine that this store doesn't just serve the town. It actually actively captures the people who come to visit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were talking about a physical business that just keeps getting bought and run by the very people who originally arrived as, you know, transient, temporary students.
Which is just, it creates this fascinating sociological loop
Right.
because you have this massive influx of young people arriving in a town with the explicit intention of leaving in 4 years. I mean, they are just passing through.
Yeah, that's the whole point of college.
Exactly. And yet the gravity of the town grabs a few of them. And instead of leaving, they end up holding the keys to the town's permanent daily infrastructure.
Which fundamentally changes how we think about local history, honestly. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We're basing our conversation today on a really compelling editorial piece from The Edit, which, if you don't know, is the editorial channel of Destination Hudson Valley.
Right.
And our mission today is to explore one singular, incredibly resilient local landmark to see this phenomenon in action. We're talking about the Convenient Deli and Cafe in Neapolitan, New York.
It's such a great example.
It really is. We are looking at this one specific store to understand how small town corner stores act as living time capsules that are just constantly overwriting themselves.
Because a corner store in a college town is, well, it's rarely just a place to buy
Raiders,
calories.
definitely not.
It functions as the town square. You know, it
Yes.
dispenses culture, it sets the daily rhythm.
Yeah.
And in New Paltz, that rhythm is entirely dictated by the tension between the permanent residents and the academic population.
So let's actually start with the map, because the geography of this place is basically the engine for everything that follows.
Oh, absolutely. Location is everything.
Right. We always hear about that divide between town and gown, right? The locals versus the university.
Yeah, that classic tension.
But in New Paltz, that divide isn't abstract at all. It has an exact physical address, which is 186 Main Street.
Right.
This is where the Convenient Deli and Cafe sits. And the location is just incredibly specific. It is exactly 5 doors down from the New Paltz Middle School.
5 doors. That is sitting right on the threshold of local civic life.
Literally 5 doors away. But at the exact same time, it is only a 10-minute walk from the SUNY New Paltz College campus.
Wow.
So you have this intense geographical pinch point. Like when I look at this layout, I picture this deli as the equator of the town.
Oh, I like that. The equator.
Right. It is the literal meeting point where a local seventh grader, you know, who just got out of class and is practically vibrating with energy to go buy an afternoon snack.
Like they do.
Exactly. They physically cross paths with a 22-year-old college senior who's been up for 48 hours cramming for finals and desperately needs coffee.
Right, two completely different worlds.
It's the convergence of two totally different human experiences just happening right there at the cash register.
And you can actually see that convergence in the literal inventory of a store situated like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, the physical location forces the business to cater to and ultimately bridge those two demographics. So the shelves have to reflect that split reality.
That makes total sense.
Right, like they need to stock the highly specific, brightly colored, sugary candy that a 12-year-old will spend their weekly allowance on.
Yeah, the essential middle school diet.
Exactly. But right alongside the energy drinks, the cheap staples, and the late-night food that is totally necessary for a 21-year-old's survival away from the dining hall.
So you look at that map, and it makes you wonder, is a store like this just a product of its coordinates?
How do you mean?
Like it sits on the fault line between the middle school and the campus, so does it simply react to the foot traffic walking by? Or does a place like this actually create the weather system for the neighborhood?
Oh, I see.
Like, is it actively shaping the daily rhythm of the town?
Well, I'd say it is a deeply symbiotic relationship, but it leans heavily toward the latter once the business is established.
Okay, so it shapes the town.
Yeah, initially, sure, the town's layout dictates the viability. I mean, a corner store wouldn't survive hidden down a strictly residential cul-de-sac with no foot traffic.
Right, of course.
But once a store roots itself on a critical fault line like 186 Main Street, it generates its own gravitational pull. It becomes this behavioral anchor.
People start structuring their actual days around it.
Exactly. The phrase, you know, meet me at the deli enters the local lexicon.
Yeah, I definitely had a place like that growing up.
We all did. It starts to dictate the physical flow of the sidewalk, the migration patterns of kids after the final bell rings, and even the late-night routes of college students walking back to their dorms.
It's a hub.
Right, it provides a neutral ground. Sociologists talk a lot about spaces that exist outside of the home and outside of the workplace or school.
Right, the third place.
Exactly, the third place. Places where people can just exist in a community setting.
So it's that neutral territory where the seventh grader and the college senior are basically on equal footing.
Yeah, because they are both just customers seeking convenience.
Right.
I mean, for the middle schooler, navigating that space without a parent, making an independent economic choice at the counter, that is a massive developmental milestone.
It really is. It's their first taste of autonomy.
Totally. And for the college student, it represents a completely different kind of independence.
Like foraging for themselves.
Yeah, foraging outside the structured university meal plans. And the store facilitates both of those experiences simultaneously.
That is such a cool way to look at it. And it sets up the physical hardware of the deli beautifully. But, you know, a location is really just an empty shell without the people who actually run it.
Oh, absolutely. The people are the soul of it.
Right. Which brings us to the history of the owners. This really highlights that transition from transient student to permanent local that we talked about.
The timeline is fascinating here.
It really is.
Yeah.
So the timeline solidifies, starting with Gary Haas. The sources note he owned the deli beginning in 1975.
And 1975 was an incredibly transformative era for the Hudson Valley.
How so?
Well, the local economy was shifting. The state university system was expanding its footprint in a big way. And Gary Haas basically established the baseline for what this corner store could be.
He proved the model worked.
Right. He proved the economic viability of a deli in that specific spot. He basically laid the foundational concrete.
He builds the stage.
Exactly.
And then we get to the story of Kathy Fizzle, which, I mean, completely flips the standard script of how small town businesses operate.
Her story is just incredible.
It is. The editorial piece details how Kathy originally came to SUI in New Paltz in 1985 as an art student.
Right.
She comes to this town to study art, presumably expecting to graduate, maybe move to a major city, you know, follow a traditional post-grad artistic trajectory.
That's usually the plan.
Right. Instead, she ends up taking over the convenient deli and cafe, and she runs it for 35 years.
35 years. I mean, from the mid-1980s all the way into the 2020s.
It's a lifetime.
It really is. That kind of tenure in a highly demanding, low-margin industry like independent food retail is just staggering.
It's an incredible trajectory. And, you know, on paper, it is easy to view that as a detour.
Sure, people do.
Yeah, someone might look at her bio and think, oh, she abandoned her art degree to run a sandwich shop.
Right.
But looking at the sheer longevity and the community impact, yeah, it feels less like she abandoned her degree and more like she applied it in a very, very unconventional medium.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Right. Like running a central community hub for 3.5 decades feels like its own kind of long form interactive performance art.
That is a really profound way to frame it. And the skill sets are actually remarkably similar when you break down what it takes to succeed in both fields.
Really? What do you mean?
Well, an artist requires keen observation, empathy, and, you know, an understanding of how disparate elements fit together to evoke a specific feeling in a space.
Okay, yeah.
So to run a beloved local institution for 35 years, you are essentially curating a daily living exhibit.
Wow, you are constantly reading the room of an entire town.
Exactly. You have to manage the physical flow of the space, observe human behavior at its most raw and unguarded.
Like the tired students and hungry kids.
And the stressed teachers. She had to curate the aesthetics, the inventory, and just the overall emotional atmosphere of that room across multiple generations.
And just think about the massive cultural shift she had to navigate between 1985 and 2020.
Oh, it's mind-boggling.
Right. She was behind that counter when the internet arrived. She watched as cell phones slowly appeared in the hands of the middle schoolers coming in for snacks.
Yeah, the whole world changed outside those windows.
It did. She witnessed entirely different generations of college kids cycle through, graduate, leave, and in some cases return years later with their own families.
Right.
Adapting a physical business to survive all those eras requires a deep, intuitive understanding of human behavior.
Which really points to a larger, fascinating economic phenomenon that's very specific to college towns.
Okay, what's that?
So economic planners often worry about brain drain, right?
And smart kids leave town.
Exactly. The process where a small town's brightest young people leave for metropolitan areas and they take all their human capital with them.
Yeah, it's a huge issue for a lot of places.
But vibrant college towns experience the inverse. They experience brain capture. The town itself acts as a magnet.
It pulls them into its orbit and just doesn't let go.
That's exactly it. Places like New Paltz offer a highly concentrated dose of walkability, cultural events, and this tight-knit community that is just incredibly appealing.
Especially compared to a like anonymous suburban sprawl.
Or the overwhelming cost of major cities. So students arrive for the academics, they fall in love with the local ecosystem, and a percentage of them realize they just have no desire to leave the bubble once they receive their diploma.
And when they stay, their role in the town's ecosystem completely flips, doesn't it?
Totally flips.
They transition from being the transient consumer, like the person buying the sandwich, to becoming the foundational pillar of the local economy.
Right. They become the person making the sandwich.
Yes, making the sandwich, paying the commercial rent, and employing the locals.
They completely blur that town and gown line we discussed earlier
Yeah.
because they carry the academic background of the gown, but they fully adopt the civic responsibilities of the town.
That makes perfect sense.
By staying for 35 years, Kathy Frizzell basically became the custodian of New Paltz's institutional memory.
Wow.
She remembered what the town was, she understood what it was becoming, and she provided the continuity that kept the community anchored.
But, you know, continuity doesn't mean permanence.
No, it never does.
Eventually, every 35-year run comes to an end. The baton has to be passed. And that actually brings us to the 2024 reinvention of the deli.
This is such a great part of the
It
story.
really is, because this is where that cycle of the town capturing its students repeats itself, but with a massive modern twist.
Right, the transition from Kathy Frizzell to the next generation of ownership. It perfectly illustrates how local landmarks avoid obsolescence.
So we fast forward to the 2020s. Kathy has finished her incredible run. The deli's doors are temporarily closed,
Right.
and you have to imagine the community is likely holding its breath,
Yeah.
right? Wondering what is going to happen to the equator of the town.
Everyone is probably worried it's going to be gutted.
Exactly. Will it be gutted? Will it be turned into a sterile corporate chain? But then enter Khalil Jamal.
Another SUNY New Paltz graduate.
Yes, the town's gravity captures a former student all over again. But Khalil doesn't just come back to town by himself.
No, he brings a team.
He returns with his three brothers, and together they reopen the convenient deli and cafe in 2024.
And crucially, they didn't just dust off the 1975 business plan and try to run a museum.
Right, they brought a highly specific major change to the space. They introduced a fully operational New York City-style halal kitchen right into this historic corner store.
Which is a profound culinary and cultural pivot for a Hudson Valley deli that was founded during the Ford administration.
Oh, absolutely. It's the smartphone model of business evolution in my mind.
Wait, I love this. Explain that.
Well, the physical hardware of the deli stays exactly the same, right?
Right.
It is still the same familiar corner store occupying the exact same footprint.
5 doors from the middle school.
Yes, 5 doors from the middle school, 10 minutes from campus. The casing hasn't changed at all, but every new generation that takes over installs a massive software update.
That is a perfect analogy. The infrastructure remains, but the way it processes the demands of the user, which is the town itself, is entirely modernized.
Right. You're shifting from standard deli cold cuts, American cheese and potato salad, to chopped cheese, falafel, and chicken over rice with the white sauce and the hot sauce.
Sounds delicious, honestly.
It does. But think about the logistics. That requires entirely different kitchen equipment, different supply chains, and a totally different pace of cooking.
Oh, yeah. And we should really look at why that specific culinary update is so significant for a town like New Paltz right now.
Okay, let's unpack that.
So the introduction of a NYC-style halal kitchen reflects major demographic and cultural shifts that have been rippling outward from major cities for a while now.
Right, and the Hudson Valley is deeply connected to New York City.
Exactly. The pipeline of students traveling from the 5 boroughs up to SUNY New Paltz brings all those metropolitan culinary expectations with them.
They're looking for the food that tastes like home.
Yes, or just the highly craveable late-night street food they see constantly on social media.
Right.
Because halal street cart style food has essentially become a universal culinary language.
It really has.
It is accessible, it is deeply flavorful, and it provides high caloric value for a relatively low price.
Which is key for students.
Right. It transcends its original demographic origins to become a staple for everyone. It perfectly serves that 12-year-old looking for an incredibly tasty, affordable after-school meal.
Yeah.
And it perfectly serves the college student who needs hearty sustenance at 11 o'clock at night. The utility of the food just perfectly matches the utility of the location.
But it raises an interesting question, right? Who is actually driving that cultural shift?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Like, when a historic half-century-old town deli suddenly pivots to a NYC-style halal kitchen, is that the town demanding something new?
Okay, I see.
Did the permanent residents of New Paltz culturally shift so much that the Jamal brothers realized the market was just demanding halal food? Or are these returning alumni actively modernizing a sleepy town by injecting their own metropolitan experiences into the mainstream?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
It is a delicate balance, obviously, but it is primarily the alumni acting as the agents of change.
Really?
Yeah, facilitated by the permissive environment of the town, of course.
Okay.
Because the town provides the vessel, the physical location, and the community goodwill built up over decades. But the returning alumni, like the Jamal brothers, they are the ones actively pulling the town into the modern era.
Wow, okay.
They are bringing their lived experiences, their cultural backgrounds, and just their acute understanding of modern food trends back into the physical hardware of the town's infrastructure.
They're basically introducing the new DNA that the town didn't necessarily know it needed until it actually arrived.
Yes, and honestly, adaptation is the only way a historic place actually survives.
Right.
That is the overarching through line of this entire story. This is a deli that the town originally defined back in 1975 through its geography. The location demanded a convenience store.
Yeah.
But it only survives into 2024 because each subsequent generation of New Paltz residents keeps redefining what convenience actually means.
That's such a great point. If the store had stayed exactly the way it was in 1975, you know, just frozen in time with the same menu and the same aesthetic, it wouldn't be a beloved landmark.
No, it would be a relic.
Right. It probably would have just failed.
Exactly. It would have lost its utility entirely. The Jamal brothers aren't erasing the history of the convenient deli and cafe. They are writing the necessary next chapter.
They are ensuring that the equator remains relevant.
Precisely. The baseline needs of the community haven't changed. They still need a safe place to gather, quick convenience, and affordable sustenance.
Right.
But the flavor profile and the delivery mechanism just have to evolve.
Because the 12-year-old today doesn't want the exact same snack that a 12-year-old wanted in 1985.
Exactly.
And the college student today has a completely different late-night palate than a student in 1975.
So by introducing the halal kitchen, they are really future-proofing the landmark. They're proving that preserving a town's history isn't about trapping it in amber.
Yeah.
It is about allowing the space to be actively cooked up and reinvented on the grill today.
I love that. It completely reframes how you look at the small businesses you walk past every single day.
It really does.
When you step into a place like the convenient deli in New Paltz, you aren't just buying a plate of chicken over rice. You are participating in a multi-generational cycle of a town constantly renewing itself from the inside out.
You are stepping into the living architecture of the community.
Right. It is literally a baton being passed between generations of people who just fell in love with their college town.
From 1975 to today.
Yeah, it started with Gary Haas laying the concrete foundation. It moved to Kathy Frizzle, turning the space into a 35-year masterpiece of community curation.
Wow.
And now Khalil Jamal and his brothers are giving it the modern software update it needs to thrive in the 2020s. And it is all happening right there on that exact fault line. 5 doors from the middle school, 10 minutes from campus.
It really makes you wonder how many other towns have these invisible equators just quietly adapting to the times.
Which is exactly what I want to leave you with as we wrap up this deep dive today. I want you to do a little mental exercise regarding your own hometown or even the college town you went to.
Think about the map.
Exactly. Think about the local geography. Ask yourself, what is the corner store or the diner or the local landmark that is still physically anchored in the exact same spot it was decades ago, but has been culturally completely redefined by the newest generation to walk through its doors?
That's a great question.
What is the physical hardware in your town that just got a massive cultural software update? Because the next time you walk past that place, you might realize it's not a nostalgic museum at all. It is actually the most actively alive place in the entire town.